and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these.
Well, good morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. What an honor and privilege it is for us to gather together, for us to lift high the name of Jesus, for us to be able to pray with each other, for us to have believers' baptism this morning, a reminder of the fact that Jesus saves, that he changes lives for all of eternity, and that we can rest in that assurance. This spring, after Easter, we as a church have been walking through a sermon series where we've been pressing into the Holy Spirit, looking at the Scripture's teaching about the promise given to us, the Holy Spirit. Remember back with me that we began with a look at Jesus in John chapter 14, where Jesus told his disciples, "Hey, I'm about to leave." And you can imagine the fear that would conjure up. And then he says to them, but listen, it's better for you. It is better for you that I go away, because the Holy Spirit inside of us is better than Jesus standing right next to us. You believe that, church? Amen. Amen. And so we've been walking through over the last several weeks, and we've been looking at, then we began a walk through our spiritual giftings. This incredible truth, it's a mystery, and yet it's taught in Scripture for us to realize that because we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that there are particular instances, giftings in our life where the Spirit shows up in a supernatural way, where others can experience God's grace and giftings through us. And then we look together at how the Holy Spirit promises to meet us corporately, that when we gather together as the living temple, when we pray for one another, when we sing and lift high the name of Jesus, when we gather around God's word, that the Spirit shows up in prominent ways. Now, all of that has been leading, in a sense, to this morning, which is Vision Sunday. We are pressing into this idea that the Holy Spirit not only gives us individual gifts as individual Christians, but also that when the church gathers together, that there becomes a corporate vision or manifestation that he is calling us to. That every church is called to live out the Great Commission, that is to reach the lost and to make disciples for Jesus Christ, but there is a uniqueness of ministry that is given to different churches because he assembles different people and gives different giftings. There are different places and time, and so the ministry that a church will live out to its community looks different. That every church is different. And figuring that out is the same way that you figure out how an individual is supposed to have spiritual giftings. And so you begin to look around and you ask the question, what ingredients is God bringing to the table here at First Baptist Bernie? What are we passionate about? What are we naturally gifted to do? And where and how do we see God's presence moving, and in what directions is he taking us? So as your pastor, I've been here a little over 2 years. And having walked through with key staff, key leaders, asking these very questions, what is God doing? What ingredients is he, how are we gifted? What is it, how are we called to impact our community? This morning is going to be a little bit of an unveiling. Where we are headed, what the future looks like, And so it's going to be a fun journey as you and I have a conversation where we just pause and reflect on how we are gifted and where God is continually showing up and what it is going to look like over the next 5-10 years for us as a church. So will you pray with me to that end? Our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to pause and to consider the blessings that you pour out, all that we have in Christ Jesus, your Holy Spirit in us, that we are your living temple, that you give us particular giftings and you do that individually and corporately, and that you have a calling, that you are calling us to reach our culture, to lift high the name of Jesus, that you have given us passions and giftings and ministries, God, that will glorify your name. And you have even given this church the incredible opportunity to have a fingerprint all around the world. God, what a beautiful blessing that is. So this morning, as we pause to consider and ask the question, where are you taking us into the future? May we be humble before you. May we never take anything for granted, but may we continually recognize it is all a gift of grace in Christ Jesus. And may it always be about you, King Jesus, lifting high your name, calling people to you so that they can be saved and taste and see your goodness. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning's sermon is going to be a little different, a little unique. I'm going to use Revelation chapter 3, particularly starting in verses 14 through the end, and it's going to be a little bit of a launching point. I'm going to exegete the text pretty quickly. I've chosen this text because, for me, it's a really good picture of where we are culturally here in America and the church here in Laodicea. So listen as I read Revelation 3, beginning in verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and in the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. An eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You see, Laodicea was a very important city in the Roman Empire, as it was a gateway to the East. It was crucial for trade, communication, and money exchange. All right, so think for a second. What is something you have to do if you're going to travel to Europe, if you're going to leave the United States and go really anywhere else? You need to exchange money. Well, it was for that purpose that Laodicea, on the very edge of the Roman Empire, was a very important banking hub. And it was a very wealthy city. Laodicea was the chief city of a tri-city area formation in the Lycus Valley. Hierapolis was a smaller city that was 6 miles north, and Colossae. You know the book Colossians. Colossae is right there, 10 miles to the east. Now, Colossae was the first city formed in the area, but Laodicea would outgrow it in size and in prominence because of the strategic location right there along the trade route heading east. Laodicea had become known for its very rare breed of sheep that produced soft, raven black wool. The wool had become very fashionable and posh. So you can imagine, similar to cashmere, it had become another source of wealth for the city. Furthermore, Laodicea had a famous school of medicine connected to the temple god of the valley, the god of healing, and they had developed a particular salve for curing eye diseases. And so people from all around would come for their eye salve. So you can see, Laodicea has a lot of things going for it as a city. Now, there are two drawbacks to living in Laodicea: earthquakes and water. In AD 60, there was a massive earthquake in this region, so much so there was so much damage throughout the whole region that the Roman Empire set out a disaster relief fund. But Laodicea, as a city, said, "We don't want it. We don't need it. We will take care of our city ourselves." In fact, there are plaques in the ancient ruins that have people's names and say, "Donated by so-and-so." Think about that. Very proud. "We will fix it ourselves." And secondly, they had no water supply. Colossae was the first city developed, and they had pure cold water springs, okay? The kind of water that you build a city around. And Hierapolis, the other of the city, Hierapolis had hot springs, and people would go there and take mineral baths in them. So Colossae has cold water, Hierapolis hot springs, Laodicea, nothing. No water source. Their closest water source was in Desili, 6 miles to the south, and it was hot water, and they had to pipe it in through aqueducts. But as you can imagine, by the time that hot water got there, it was lukewarm, full of minerals and calcium deposits. And the mineral content of the water was so high, it was awful to drink. In fact, Laodicea was known, we have writings, Laodicea was known to have the worst water in the empire. You made fun of their water source. So now you know the context, and you can hear Christ's rebuke of how his church had become just like the culture. "You say, 'I am rich,' but you are wretched, miserable. You're actually poor. You produce fancy wool in your clothes so well, but you are actually naked. You are known for your eye salve, but you are blind. And like your water, you are neither hot nor cold, and I want to spit you out of my mouth." It's a blistering statement, because the church had become just like their culture: prideful, self-reliant, and in love with temporary wealth that doesn't last. Now pause for a second, church, First Baptist Burney, because this is our culture: prideful, self-reliant, in love with material possessions and technology, and temporary escapes for pain, but no lasting contentment no water for their souls. Now listen to the call and to the kindness of King Jesus. What does he say to them? Come. Come find true riches. Allow me to clothe you. Allow me to open your eyes so that you will have satisfaction, so that you will know what is really of value. My rewards, you see, they last. They are eternal. They are for eternity. I will clothe you with righteous garments. Truth that covers you. I will open your eyes to see. You will be able to taste and to see who God is, that he brings contentment, that he brings satisfaction, that he is the lover of your soul. Beloved, this is the call of our church to our culture. This is the call of First Baptist Burney to our culture, to say with Isaiah 55, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor on that which just does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. King Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he saves, and he satisfies, and he is better than any riches that this world could ever offer. Now, this calling is the calling of every true church. Every church is called to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and to make disciples. And certainly we are not alone here in Burney, that we have many sister churches that preach and teach and tell of the good news, that make this call into our culture, that say, come, taste and see. But I would like for us to pause and to consider the blessings of First Baptist Burney. Because every church has the same calling, but every church does not have the same ministries and impact. So pause and think about who we are and the blessings that God has brought here at First Baptist Burney. Because for more than 120 years, First Baptist Burney has been a faithful gospel witness in the Hill Country, calling, come, come to King Jesus. He is the one who can truly satisfy. Come find true riches. Come find healing for your soul and for your family. See, it's a picture of Matthew 5, a light on a hill that cannot be hidden. Listen as I read Matthew 5, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount saying to his disciples, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light who are all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Truth be told, the impact of First Baptist Burney is all over the Hill Country. Having planted multiple sister churches in the area, birthing numerous ministries that meet felt needs in the community, like Grace House, Moment of Truth, Taking It to the Streets. Taking It to the Streets is the premier homeless ministry in downtown San Antonio. They have been serving meals, giving out goods, praying and preaching the gospel every Saturday night for 13 years. That ministry was birthed and is led right here through our church members, meeting felt needs and earning the right to share the good news of Jesus. Another ministry partner that I want to highlight for you this morning is what happens at Meadowlands each and every week. Meadowlands is a state home for displaced kids. They've been removed and they have to go to this state home. And every week we have a group of faithful men and women who go and lead a Bible study and mentor these troubled youth, answering the Bible's call to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are most vulnerable and share the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. This afternoon at 1:30, did you know that there have been 14 youth that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior this semester through Meadowlands? And this afternoon at 1:30, there's gonna be a baptismal service right here where 12 of them are going to be baptized. Because of our connection and partnership, 12 souls for eternity that have been changed because of the love of Jesus Christ. But God used us, God used our people and our partnership in a state-run facility to share the good news of Jesus. You are invited to be here at 1:30 to support and to celebrate what God is doing, because they're not gonna have family that's gonna come. They're just gonna have church family that comes. 1:30 today. So not only does the light of First Baptist Burney shine across the hill country in our 18 local mission partners, but here's the deal, it even shines around the world. This summer, I'm finally gonna get to go on 2 mission trips that I've been trying to go on for 2 years now, but COVID keeps bumping and bumping. The first one, I get to go to Yucatan, Mexico, just outside of Cancun. We have had a partnership there for 18 years. More than 500 of our church members have gone year after year consistently in a partnership that began with one local pastor out in the colonias. This is the poor part outside of Cancun. One pastor that has grown into 7 pastors and in the process planted 4 churches. That is helping them build 4 churches and continue to partner as they reach their community, meeting felt needs, being the hands and feet of Jesus. And we have a partnership with them for 18 years. And we're going back, and we're going back, and we're going back. How beautiful is that? In Uganda, we have a number of ministry partners there, but it all began 25 years ago with one of my predecessors, Bubba Stahl. I know all of you know Bubba, many of you. 25 years ago, began a ministry called Tree of Life. If you just take a snapshot now and you say, what is happening with Tree of Life in Uganda? They have 2 grade schools where they teach more than 1,500 children, day in, day out, week in, week out, teaching them important things about life, but also shining the light of Jesus Christ. They have women's ministry where they teach women a trade, how to sew, how to dress hair. They are combating difficult cultural conditions and even prostitution, getting these women off the street. And there are 2 pastor training schools that right now have more than 120 pastors that they are training so that they can send out. And through the 25 years, they've planted more than 50 plus churches all through Uganda. Now, I just quickly highlighted 4 of the ministries that are right here that have been birthed out of First Baptist Burney. We have 18 local mission partners, 12 international mission partners. And what's amazing, what's absolutely staggering, when you take a step back and you ask the question and you look at the way that many of those ministries came about, you see that God brought passionate, gifted leaders right here to this church who saw a need and a way to reach the culture with the love of Jesus. And these entrepreneurial leaders, just lay people, birthed new ministries, self-sustaining ministries that last unto this day. That's the recent story of Vault Foster Care Ministry, a nonprofit helping families with foster care. No one told Rachel Russo how to start this ministry. It's not like a pastor or the church said, you know what, here's a good idea. Let me give it to you. You take it and run with it. No, that's not how it was birthed. You have gifted leaders that God has brought here who saw and gathered other believers around and prayed, and it started small and suddenly it's taken off in incredible ways. Self-sustaining ministries. So I come here as a new pastor, and with the help of others over the past 2 years, I've been asking this question. You look around, you say, what ingredients is God bringing here at this church? What is our unique ministry calling as a people? What does this look like? And these are the ingredients. You begin with the people that love Jesus. A healthy church that loves God's word, vibrant, passionate worship, a people that love one another in an area that everyone wants to be. I mean, burning Texas, the middle of the hill country, in the greatest state, in the greatest nation that the world has ever seen. We're it. Everyone wants to be right here. But think about this. It's a vibrant, growing community, great schools. It's affluent. We have resources that have poured into here. We have an amazing church campus. Have you thought about that? That we have facilities that are able to house schools and preschools during the week, that we have Sunday school space, that we have this magnificent facility, this magnificent sanctuary. We have so much here on our campus. And then on top of that, the Lord continues to bring high capacity people here. Exceptional businessmen and women. Entrepreneurs, high-ranking military leaders, educators, who naturally, over the past 20-plus years, have birthed and or are in the midst of leading vital ministries, ministries that meet the needs of our community in order to earn the right to share the gospel. In Bernie, and in San Antonio, and we help our partners do this all around the world. Do you see it? The magnificent picture to step back and to say, what is God doing here to bring such resources in one spot? And how does God want us to capitalize, to say yes, to go in this direction and say, all right, God, you continue to lead us and you continue to shine the light of First Baptist Bernie to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. I want you to watch this video.
Nestled in the Texas Hill Country, Bernie is a place like no other. As one of the fastest growing areas in the country, we find ourselves in the perfect place at the perfect time. Standing strong on the highest hill, First Baptist Church Bernie is a light on that hill and cannot be hidden. And after 120 years of incredible ministry, now is the time to penetrate our self-reliant culture with the light of the gospel. As we each unlock our God-given gifts, our multi-generational church is a light for the gospel, where we live, where we work, and where we play. But we won't stop there. We are strategically launching entrepreneurial leaders to lead self-sustaining ministries that address real needs in today's world. By 2030, First Baptist Church Bernie will be the regional epicenter for launching innovative, effective, sustainable ministries that take the light of the gospel to shine brightly in the darkness, both near and far. As we embark on this journey together in faith, we look forward to seeing just how bright and how far the light of First Baptist Church Bernie will shine for God's glory.
Now, some of you are dreamers like me, and you just want to sit and you want to rewatch that video and you want to play in that space. While others of you are like, now listen up, Pastor, that's nice and all, but how are we going to get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Did you know that we've already begun building towards that? And the very first steps we've actually taken as a church for us to no longer be in two separate worship styles, kind of two separate churches, but rather when we came together as one multi-generational church and we pressed into the idea that we are better together as a multi-generational church that disciples the generations one to another. On top of that, we have gone through a process of looking at church membership and then reorganizing through deacon care and deacon flocks. And that is, we as a church know the important value of coming to a church like this, but being known and being cared for. And that's why it's important for us to get organized and for us to know that you have connections points, that you have someone that's going to care for you and pray for you and make sure that when we call, that when we say, come, find healing, come, find true riches, that this is a place where the gospel is vibrant and our people genuinely care for one another. That's why we continue to take step after step. That's why we celebrate and we press into, hey, while we're singing, we need to be praying for one another. We need to know one another. We need to care for one another. Now, over the course of the next 3 years, we will continue to focus our finances with where we're going. We're going to look at our finances, comb through and say, does that meet where we're going? And update our facilities so that we can best minister to our multi-generational congregation. We've already begun to make clear on-ramps, and we will continue to do that. For new people, as they come in, they need to have clear on-ramps about how to get connected and where to get plugged in. And we will begin to make intentional development of leaders. Because this is what God is bringing to us, and this is what we have a wealth of. We have leaders that God has given from all walks of life. You guys are incredible, incredible. I'm not pandering to you. You guys are so much smarter than any congregation I've ever seen and come in contact with. I'm always intimidated to preach in front of you. But God has brought incredible leaders, so much talent here, that we're going to develop leaders and we're going to press into that. Because this is how God has gifted us. And we are called to equip our people to make gospel impact where they work, play, and live. And as we develop leaders, as a church, we are called to be open-handed. Because as they see ministries that are going to make culture and gospel impact, it's our call as a church to be open-handed so that they can run and they can thrive. And they can create self-sustaining ministries that can be birthed and go out, birthed and go out. A continuation of what God has already done, a fire that he has lit. But if we focus and then we press into it, what is God going to do next? In fact, another very important step that we've all been taking together is this sermon series, talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to spend the summer walking through the fruit of the Spirit. In the fall, we're going to look at the book of Acts because you're going to see the way that the Holy Spirit empowers us and gets us moving. But a lot of that also begins with the spiritual gift assessment. So think about this church-wide, not just yourself, because I know many of you have already taken the test. Thank you for that. Some of you are said, I don't want to do that. But think about this church-wide. If all of us take this is a simple tool, okay? If every one of us knows how we're gifted and how to get plugged in, and how to be part of this incredible mission of what God is doing here. Here's the deal. The spiritual gift test, first and foremost, it's for you. So that you will know. So that you can have an idea. So that you know your purpose. You know, when Lane and I left the engineering world and moved over to the seminary in Fort Worth. We left a good paying job and we were scraping to get by. And on Sundays, I began to preach and teach at an assisted living center to a small group of mostly elderly women. And we would come and we would visit during the week and we would make the rounds and we would pray for our little congregation. You know, we went home at the end of tired days and said, we found true riches. We found our purpose and our calling, something that lasts and is sustainable, that has riches for all of eternity. We want you to know your place and purpose and what God is doing here. And here's the other deal. We can't do it without you because we're like a team. We have to all be rowing in the same direction, and we will not accomplish all that God wants us to do for the gospel, for the kingdom, without you. And here's the deal. I want my one and only life to be spent on the kingdom of God. Don't you? Guys, that's the invitation. I want you to get stirred up. I want you to realize how many blessings you and I have. Guys, we have it all in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, this invitation to take the gospel we have the gospel. There are still corners of the earth that do not, there are still cultures who have moved past that need us, or people like us that need our resources, our impact, the light of the gospel. You and I are called to go on a kingdom adventure, to spend the remainder of our days being obedient, surrendered to where God wants us to go, but at the same time being energized and charged by saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will go. I will use my talents and my giftings for you. I see what you're calling us to. I see it. I see it. And we want nothing more than to be the light on a hill and to shine our light into the darkness. That you and I as a church at the end of our days would be able to gather up and be able to say, we have shouted Jesus from the mountains. We have shouted Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. We have declared Jesus for my family because I speak the holy name of Jesus. Would you stand and would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we pause right now with hands lifted high, saying thank you for all the blessings that you have given to us. What you have poured out on this rich legacy as a church that you planted more than 120 years ago in the faithfulness, the gospel light of First Baptist Burney, for us to be able to live in a community that is filled with such magnificent resources. Father, the truth of the matter that we have the gospel. That we have the gospel. That you have changed us. That you've spoken to us. And that you call us to be your hands and your feet. And that you have given us so many resources. And that you've given us so many strategic ministry partners. And that you continue to bring here a wealth of leadership, entrepreneurs who are birthing ministries to be your hands and your feet, to meet needs within the community, but shine the light of Jesus so that we as a church can call out, we can say, come, come find true riches. Come find the lover of your soul, the one who satisfies. That is you, King Jesus. We praise you. We bless you. You have blessed us so much. So right now, Father, we surrender and we submit to you that we will go, that we will say yes to all that you wish to accomplish in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.